Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. With Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Colts will have to snap it one more time, and then that will do it. Impressive performance by their offense. Frank Reich, first-year head coach, is going to lead them from a 1-5 start to the playoffs. Only the third team in NFL history to do that. The 2015 Chiefs started 1-5 and went to the playoffs, and the 1970 Cincinnati Bengals did it. And now the 2018 Indianapolis Colts, who come to Nashville and defeat the Titans 33-17.
It was win and they're in for both the Tennessee Titans and the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts had Andrew Luck. The Titans started Blaine Gabbert for the injured Marcus Mariota. And the Titans defense fought to keep them in it, but honestly, the Colts are just simply better. And so are the other AFC teams in the postseason. The Titans, well, there's plenty of work to be done. And many of you wanted to start at quarterback. The phone lines are open. 615-737-1045, our number. 615-737-1045. It is time to react to the Titans 2018 season. We'll do it in a variety of ways today. Blake Bedingfield joins us in 2 hours. He'll be in studio at noon. But right now we get full reaction. Again, phone lines available. 615-737-1045, our number. What's up, Paul?
How we doing?
Chad Withrow with the day off. He's back with us on Wednesday. I should mention that David Reed, the chairman of the board, well, he's also off today. And JT is the chairman today. He's the co-chair of this show. JT gets it done.
We went from double X to extra small.
Yeah, that's right. A medium in the production booth.
The room looks a lot bigger with JT in there. We appreciate his help. Disappointing ending.
Yep.
Look, the crowd showed up. The atmosphere was good. They got it to 17-10. I thought they fought like hell. It obviously fell apart. Gabbert threw a couple really terrible passes, and it was just more than the Titans could handle last night. And to be frank, I'm the last guy you'd call an apologist, but I think that Mike Vrabel pretty much got everything that was to be gotten out of this team, given who he was without. And they're just not as good as the Colts or the Texans this year.
They're not.
Even fully stocked, I'm not sure, but definitely not stocked the way they were yesterday. And so I think they got about what they deserved at 9-7 and just on the outside looking in. And I know that's tough for people to swallow, and people left angry last night and disappointed. But I think it comes out about right.
Here's why it's so difficult, because they were playing a Colts team and a Texans team this year. We just both said they're better than the Titans. The Colts started 1-5. The Texans were 0-3. And they're better than the Tennessee Titans at the end of the year.
You should have been able to run away from them.
That's what is disappointing about it.
And you couldn't. And that is disappointing. And look, everybody's going to look back. You want your moments. But the fact of the matter is, correct me if I'm wrong, they win the Buffalo game, Nick Williams catches that ball. They still need to win last night.
They do. If with the two losses to Buffalo and Baltimore back-to-back, even if they were to win one of those games, they would still have been in a situation like last night.
Because
if everything else were equal.
Yeah. Because if they wound up tied with the Colts, they would have lost a tiebreaker to the Colts. And so, I know people are going to look back on Nick Williams is play number one. The Chargers going for two is play number two. And play number three is long forgotten It's a phantom hold on Delanie Walker on a Derrick Henry touchdown run in Miami that would have tilted that game. Those three plays give the Titans one, two, or three of them. Listen, we can't rewrite anything. I'm big on that. What happened is what happened. But that's how close it was. And you think about Mike Vrabel's first year. You could not pack any more weirdness into a season for a first-year head coach who I think handled everything pretty well, considering it's his first time as a head coach. I think big things are ahead for him.
On top of all of the storylines that he handled, his schedule was not easy as a first-year head coach. It turns out nine teams that they played of the nine games of the 16 games this year were against playoff teams. As you look at the playoff field right now, because they played Houston twice and Indy twice, so there's four games: New England, Baltimore, L.A., Dallas, and Philly. They went 4-5 in those games, beating division winners like Houston, New England, and Dallas, along with Philly, who gets in as the sixth seed. So,
all this said,
by the way, they were the only team in the NFL to play seven playoff teams based on this year's field.
All this said, everybody out there saying you're 4 or 5 minutes into the show and you're not talking about the only thing I want to hear about, which is Marcus Mariota, who did not play in this game, and who the general sentiment among many sane people on Twitter, but well beyond Twitter, is he should have played, as if he just could have decided to have played, despite the fact that he was told by I don't want to give away too much of my reporting yet, which I haven't nailed down. But he was told by a preeminent spine doctor not to play. All right. And people are acting like he is Rishard Matthews, and that he walked out on this team like Rishard Matthews did. Think about that. You're treating him like Rishard Matthews, and you want to push him off the pedestrian bridge.
And how many apologists, how many criers called into this show complaining that you were being too hard on Rishard Matthews for quitting on his team?
Hell, the locker room sure as hell thought so.
The locker room was first in line.
Before the boys thing exploded.
But my point is, now everyone's to the front of the line playing doctor on social media, saying that Mariota should have played.
Look, it's hugely disappointing he didn't play. He's missed the final game in 3 out of 4 seasons. The first one didn't matter a lick. And that's a big problem. And they've got to find better support there. Look, Gabbert was a huge upgrade over Castle. I don't want anybody to say he's not. He went really, in the 3 games where he was the decider, he went 2-1. Which is about as good as you're going to get.
Yeah, but that's like saying a pitcher that gives up 8 runs won the game because his team scored 9. I mean,
it was a significant upgrade from Castle. Now they need a significant upgrade from him. I'd like the quarterback room to be Mariota, Gabbert, and probably a relatively decent draft pick.
Gabbert deserves credit for the Washington game. The Houston game that he started, they didn't win that game because of Blaine Gabbert. In week 2.
No, but they didn't lose it because of Blaine Gabbert either.
Well, it's pretty easy to take a snap and hand it off and allow the running back to take his own snaps and allow Kevin Byard to throw a pass.
Agree. But, look, it's time for them to supplement him better because of his propensity to disappear.
He's going to be unavailable at times.
And his inability to finish. But this idea that off of one game, You're going to be done with him, or that this is the last straw. I think people have to a degree lost their minds.
I don't think the majority of people are looking at it from the injury stance last night. I think they're saying, guy's hurt, he should have played, but they're not looking at the long-term effects of what's been reported by ESPN, which was, he could have significant long-term damage to the nerve in his right arm, right? That's what I'm paraphrasing, but that's what Mortensen said on ESPN.
Or right shoulder.
Or shoulder. But here's why fans feel that way. And I think they have every right to have this expectation based on the way the news was portrayed last week. Mike Vrabel, early last week, said that Marcus felt better than he had the previous 2 injuries. That statement alone sets the stage for him to play on Sunday Night Football. that's me being fair to the fan that expects the quarterback to play.
Agree.
Practices on Thursday and Friday, limited basis, but practices on Thursday and Friday, a day after he takes the podium and says that this game is for everything and these games mean forever. That's a statement you want to hear from a starting quarterback that's hurt, that's going to play, and then practices back-to-back days. Now, we don't know the reps. We did see video of him throwing, and media that watched him throw said he looked better throwing than he did the previous two times coming back from injury. So as you set the table for expectations on whether or not a guy is going to play, that's a pretty easy assumption based on last week and how everything went.
Agreed. I think they failed to put on parallel tracks. Maybe their fault, maybe not. Put on parallel tracks, the medical end of it and the what he was able to do in non-contact practices, end of it. And that created a lot of this consternation, and it created a long Sunday between that report and between ultimately finding out that his workout was at the facility, not at the stadium, and that they knew, you know, pretty darn early that he wasn't going to dress. And all that stuff didn't come together well, and it didn't present itself well. But ultimately, they got where they got.
These are the facts. The most raucous crowd in a decade is present here at Nissan Stadium. The winner of this game heads to Houston for Wild Card Weekend. Andrew Luck is 10-0 against the Tennessee Titans. Marcus Mariota will not dress tonight. Blaine Gabbert will get the start at quarterback. The Titans will not have defensive stars Jarrell Casey and Brian Arakpo. So those are the facts. Now it's simply about 3 hours of football. Everything else is out the window. Only one thing matters: winning. Sideline imploring this crowd to get loud. They comply. It is quite a night at Nissan Stadium. Empty backfield on third down and 8. Luck takes the snap, looks to his right. Feeling some heat. Gives ground. Picks up a block. Turns downfield. Throws over the middle in the back of the end zone. And the pass is caught. I think Inman got it. He did. Touchdown, Indianapolis Colts. And it's the mobility of Andrew Luck that makes it happen. Luck is in the shotgun. Empty backfield. First and goal at the 9. Luck dropping. Looking. Firing in the end zone for Ebron. What a catch. Touchdown, Indianapolis Colts, as Eric Ebron has his 13th touchdown reception of the year. The Colts in 5.5 quarters against the Titans, 589 yards of total offense.
Gotta make it happen.
Luck pumps, looks, pumps again, throws downfield, intercepted, picked up Brown, 15, 10, 5, end zone, touchdown, Titans, U.S., Jayon Brown delivers, and the Titans are alive at Nissan Stadium.
That's exactly what we had to have. We played field position all night long. You've got to capitalize on it. The pass rush then hurried him, stepped up in a small cylinder. Great job by Jayon. That's what we need. Let's keep it rolling. This crowd is fantastic. We got to stay on top of it.
Second and goal at the 19. Luck going to screen it to Mack. He was trapped by Brown. Brown rips it out. It's been picked up by Jayon. Jayon to the 30. Jayon to the 35, where he's finally tackled. Jayon Brown is a one-man wrecking crew.
Jayon Brown is doing what Jayon Brown's done all year, but he's doing it in spades tonight, and we've got to have that.
The Tennessee Titans have seen the Colts gain over 250 yards, and yet at halftime, it's a ball game. At the intermission, Indianapolis 17, Tennessee 10. This offense must match the Colts' production.
They've got to get it going.
They go toss. Here's Big Henry turning the corner. Henry bouncing back to the left. He's to the 35. Henry to the 40. And Henry is out of bounds at the 44-yard line.
He's now over 1,000 for the year.
Give Henry. Starts to the left, comes back to the right, 50. 45, 40, 35, 30, 25, and Leonard runs him out of bounds just short of the 20-yard line. Under center quickly, Gabbert, play fake, rolling to the left, man is wide open, Stocker, 20, 15, 10, 5, Stocker reaches the ball into the end zone, touchdown, Titans! When you're worried about Derrick Henry, things open up, and that thing was Luke Stocker for 6. My goodness, we've got a lot to go. 15 minutes with a playoff spot on the line. Gabbert pumps, rolls to his right, looking downfield, throwing. Ball is intercepted. Intercepted by Moore, 45-40, and Moore taken down at the 38-yard line by Gabbert. Colts come with the extra lineman as a tight end. Haig to the left. Mack is the back at the 8-yard line. Mack takes the handoff, runs to the right, goes into the end zone. Touchdown, Indianapolis Colts. Marlon Mack. The Titans gave it all they had tonight, but honestly, Dave, we knew without the quarterback, without Jarrell Casey, without Brian Arakpo, it was going to be an uphill climb. And they just didn't have enough.
Well, they just finally had run it threadbare.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. The season ends on Sunday Night Football. 33-17, the final. Titans falling to the Colts. Andrew Luck now 11-0 against the Tennessee Titans. 615-737-1045, our number. With Paul Koharski, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Chad Withrow with the day off. Let's hit the phones. And let's go to Joey. Calling from Kentucky. What's up, Joey?
What's up, guys? Hey, Paul, just let me finish saying what I'm saying, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Okay, so first of all, I don't think the Titans would have won anyways, even if Mariota did play. I think we all know that by the past.
I don't know that, Joey. I know you don't want us to interrupt you. I can't say that for sure. Mariota could have completed that pass on a bootleg to Luke Stocker on the second possession. I mean, there are so many throws that Gabbert missed last night.
They would have had a better chance.
Yes.
A better chance, yeah.
But you're right. We don't know for sure if they beat that Colts team. Andrew Luck was 10-0 against them.
Right. Also, John Robinson, he went inside linebacker in the first round of the draft instead of center or guard. He signed Malcolm Butler. In my opinion, he did have a rough offseason. Also, Mariota's got, I think he's got 24 touchdowns and 23 picks the last two seasons. Matt LaFleur was supposed to come in and change Mariota for the better, this and that. Now he's getting mentioned for head coaching positions. That's totally crazy to me. I don't see how LaFleur could be getting mentioned for head coaching positions.
Mentioned by lazy TV networks. He's not getting mentioned by teams looking to hire people.
Right. And also, the thing about it is, though, I'm a huge Mariota fan. You know, I love Mariota. I just don't think there's very many good options at quarterback. I think Bridgewater may be the only good free agent. I think the draft is pretty weak. So I think if we can get Mariota some interior offensive line support, that will help him. That will also help Derrick Henry. And we'll let him play out his fifth year, and then we'll go from there at quarterback. That's just my take on the season.
Well, I don't think there's any scenario where Mariota's not on the team next year. The question is, who else is on the team?
Well, how serious is this injury? You reported that he went and saw a preeminent spine doctor that told him not to play.
I think it heals like a concussion heals.
So this guy said
they went inside linebacker instead of interior offensive line. Let's not pretend like they didn't need an inside linebacker.
Rashawn Evans is
a good player, and inside linebackers now their best position. So I mean. Yeah, they needed interior offensive line too, but I wouldn't say they shouldn't have drafted Rashawn Evans. Rashawn Evans has turned into a very good player, and he's one of the reasons for optimism with this team.
Paul, you wrote a piece for PaulKaharski.com last night that there is just too much crazy talk about Marcus Mariota. You basing that off of the day-long just
hysteria
deluge of tweets that you received, calls you received?
It wasn't just Twitter, though. It wasn't just Twitter. I mean,
and you pointed out it's not just the trolls either.
No, I talked to plenty of people face-to-face. You know, it was a long day, and really it was three words before the game, he should play, four words after the game, he should have played. I just don't understand how you're such a medical expert. I mean, this thing where you should just be able to play through anything. And the McNair legend's really doing a disservice. You know, McNair didn't play through everything. McNair missed games. McNair missed five games during the Super Bowl run season. It was less painful because they had Neil O'Donnell. Backups like that are not available these days. Joe Flacco is going to be available now, but Joe Flacco is probably going to get himself into a better situation than this. I'd take Joe Flacco as a guy in the mix here in a heartbeat. I don't like him.
I had a friend that said players put their bodies on the line every week in this league. And I said, yeah, of course they do. They take a certain risk when they put the pads on and go out there. But if you're going to risk your career greater than what you normally would, then it changes the situation. And when you hear and I see the reports that there's a threat of long-term damage, then of course you have to factor that into a decision to play or not to play.
Everybody's making it like a movie. Preeminent spine specialist tells you not to play, but you go out there anyway and you lead your team to victory. And the offensive line miraculously protects you, and your torn plantar fascia is a non-factor, and you move around beautifully, avoiding the kind of sacks that could leave you crumpled on the ground. Why are you writing a movie script instead of a real-life script? Let me repeat this. A preeminent spine doctor told him not to play. Okay? Now, I understand it's not your body, and you're stuck in Gladiator, and you want ancient Rome, and it's the 17th game of the season, and it's for playoffs, and it's the most important thing, and if you could walk, you should play, and all that stuff. Look, I'm pissed he wasn't out there either, but I also have enough of an ability to bring myself down to sea level, SEE level, where I can see that it's not an unreasonable thing. It's an unfortunate thing. It's an untimely thing. It's a repetitive thing. It's an annoying thing. It's all of those things. But you're making it like he's Rishard Matthews. You're making it like he should be thrown off the pedestrian bridge. You want to put this guy in a stockade and throw tomatoes at him. I mean, chill.
615-737-1045. Our number, Jeff, is next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Jeff.
Just to kind of chip in with what Paul is saying there, I agree. People think that this is like a knee injury or something where you can get injected with xylocaine or cortisone or something, go out and tough it out, and it's going to wear off. When you have a nerve injury, there's two types of injuries you get. One is sensory, which means what you feel, the tingling. The other is motor, which means how the nerve works. If they saw in practice that he couldn't adequately grip the ball, you're not going to put him out there to throw it. He didn't give you your best chance to win.
He was adequately gripping the ball. I think that's where people are having a big problem. But people don't realize at practice, adequately gripping the ball comes with no one touching you.
Jeff, he could not adequately grip the ball earlier this season. He wore a glove to do it. So
correct. And it could have exacerbated. I mean, we just don't know. My point is, people are trying to kind of align this with an injury for a cartilage or something where you can get injected and play through it, and you're the same as you were before the game without making the injury worse. With a nerve injury, you can compound the damage, and obviously if this spine surgeon told him that, that's, you know, I think he did the right thing by not doing it for long term. But it's not like an injury where it's something is sore and you just get it shot up and play through it. And I think that's how everybody's looking at this. Like, he should have just toughed it out. And, you know, they don't do it in Major League Baseball. There's a lot of sports where if you can't perform exactly for a starting pitcher, you're not going to put your ace out there if you think he's going to do long-term damage, even if you're in the playoffs and may go to the World Series. A second thing that not a lot of people are talking about is we missed Jurel Casey in the middle. Andrew Luck had a horseshoe-shaped pocket to step up into.
And never mind that. I mean, Mack was running at will 5 yards on first down all the time.
And which kept their which kept our defense on the field, which kept our offense off the field. And, you know, there was nobody being double teamed. You know, Jurel is usually double teamed. So that took a lineman out.
The reason, though, Jeff, I mentioned right to begin the show that the Colts are simply better, because that happened in week 11, too, when Jurel Casey was in the lineup.
Correct. Right.
So I don't point to that as a reason why they lost last night. The Colts are just simply better than the Tennessee Titans
and
up front.
I would agree with you there. I just noticed that the pocket for him seemed to be unusually clean stepping up into it. In other words, there was no front push at all.
Thank you for the call.
The other thing people want to know about Mariota and the contract. This is very easy. We'll come back. I'll tell you what should happen. I'll tell you what's got to happen next.
Give us the details on Mariota's contract for next year.
Well, he's making next year, it's like, whatever.
20.9.
It's $17 million more than he's making this year. But the contract solution is easy. Don't decide. And look, if John Robinson signs him to any sort of long-term deal, unless some kind of super friendly thing arises, which I don't think it will, that's a huge mistake. You've got to go into next year and see him healthy and productive in a Matt LaFleur offense year two before you take any kind of plunge with him. And the security is, if you don't do it, he's good and you want him, you play him 2020 as a franchise tag. You've got the insurance of holding on to him for that.
You can do that too. You're right. You know, here's the disappointing factor of Mariota's career. Is every offseason, it is the topic of he's coming off a year where it's yet another season where we are left to say we just don't know about Mariota as the guy to lead this team
that's
to a Super Bowl.
The big
but
disappointment.
That's the most consistent part of Mariota's career is that question and the way we have to answer it because we just don't know.
You got to know by now.
Well, you're saying give him another year and figure it out.
It's disappointing you don't know by now.
Another year, we're probably sitting here next January asking the same question.
Well, then they're really
jam. Why be optimistic about it at this point?
Well, I'm not optimistic about it. I'm just saying you've got time.
It's another offseason where we're left saying Mariota needs to go get healthy.
Yeah, it's the same story, but you have time.
Let's go next to Alex. What's up, Alex?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I've been one of the biggest critics of Mariota all season long, but for the people that are killing him today for should have playing are the same people that are mad that we didn't take interior offensive line in the first round. How do those two things go together? We should have taken our offensive line can't block, so let's put a quarterback who has a neurological issue out there in harm's way. It doesn't match up. Paul, I totally agree with you. We don't need to do anything with the contract. The thing that we need to do is next year, we need to put players around Mariota. Outside of the state of Tennessee, nobody can name our second and third receivers. That's an issue. Every quarterback that's productive in this league has multiple options. We need to utilize Derrick Henry more. Didn't do that last night. We did last few weeks, but they got to get a number two target. Delaney coming back is going to help, but it's almost unfair to give Marcus a proper evaluation with the players he has.
And that's another thing like Hutton's saying, though. We just keep waiting and hearing the same.
Yeah,
I wrote that today.
Every year.
Yeah. Everybody's sick of the too many coordinators, not enough weapons conversation. It's time. So next year is the year. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to be productive in the offense. You've got to give enough weapons and you got to give enough protection. And then it's decision time. Now, and again, you could still push it next year with the franchise tag, and you could play the Cousins game that Washington played with Cousins, which they didn't know, right? They didn't know, so they just kept pushing it and pushing it and pushing it, which you can do, which is better, by the way, than giving them a long-term contract when you're not sure.
Well, ask the teams that have the highest paid quarterbacks based on the 2018 salary this year. Top six paid quarterbacks in the league this year, they're at home just like Marcus Mariota is. Combined wins, 31. Rodgers, who is excellent, he's the top paid quarterback. Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr.
Those Garoppolo
are your,
hurt.
Those are your top paid quarterbacks, and they're all at home.
Yeah, it's telling. A bit telling.
Let's go to Ed next up, who's calling from Jersey. Paul, you may know this guy.
Edward.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Where in Jersey? Listen,
I am in Freehold, New Jersey. Home of Bruce.
Oh, my God. Home of Bruce?
Wow. Absolutely.
Not far from my my parents in Jackson.
Absolutely. And Paul, I am the infamous Mac 9, one of your faithful subscribers.
God bless this man.
Anyway, listen, I think one of the fascinating storylines this offseason is, do you think, you know, looking back at Derrick Henry 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, he might have been cut. Do you think he's done enough in 5-6 weeks to change the offensive philosophy of this entire team to say, hey, we're going to go back to ground and pound. We're not going to really rely so much on our receivers like we were last year. We're going to change the whole mindset. Do you think he's done enough in 5 weeks to convince the hierarchy of what type of team we want to be going forward?
Well, I don't think they need to change the type of team they are. I just think they need to find ways to use him. They need to shift some and accommodate him. They don't need to tear it up, but they need to accommodate him, and they found ways to accommodate him when he was going well.
And
in certain games, they can crush with him. In other games, he's still going to get 12 carries.
They're not playing game 256 on Sunday Night Football without him. And to your point, Ed, you know, 6 weeks ago, we're discussing who the primary ball carrier might be. We don't know going to 2019 in the season. Now we know. Derrick Henry's earned that spot.
When they're healthy, he's, I'm going to say, one of the three best players on offense. With Lawan and Walker, presuming Walker returns to himself. I want Corey Davis on that list. He's not there yet.
Appreciate the call, Ed. Paul?
I respect the Derrick Henry story. A great, yes. Nobody won me. Who got better on this team this year as the year went on? Darius Jennings, Brett Kern, Derrick Henry.
Jayon Brown,
Sharif Finch.
Rashawn Evans.
It's not a huge list.
No, it's not a big list. But Henry's right at the top of it. Let's go next to Jason. What's up, Jason?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good
Thanks
morning.
For taking my call. So I went to that game last night with my daughter and everything, and it definitely was a frustrating situation, especially starting to get rained and watching Gabbert become Gabbert again, because I am a Niners fan. And I know Gabbert to do exactly what he did last night. I mean, he's very consistent at being inconsistent. He's guaranteed to throw a couple of picks. I mean, he can be great at moments, and then he'll come through and just be a cancer to your team. But one thing that I did want to say on this that really frustrated me, Paul, I give you credit, man, for asking hard questions and questions that need to be answered. And when I was listening to that post-game show with Mike Vrabel or whatever, I mean – it's unfair to the fans that you just blow the reporters off. Answer the question. They're going to ask you about Mariota. You knew that. You should have an answer instead of your answer being, oh, well, we're not going to get into that. We're not getting into that. No, that's what the fans deserve. We need to get into that. We needed that answer, and then we wouldn't be on 104.5 The Zone today trying to figure out what happened. You need to answer the questions. He knew the answers. And so I think that that's what frustrated me the most. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, go back and forth over what Mariota deserves in a contract or not. I know that he's not the long-term answer. I can tell that. But then I also agree with Paul, who is the long-term answer. So if I don't have a solution – then I normally don't complain about the problem. But that whole thing about not answering the questions that you asked him last night, Paul, and stuff like that, that really irritated me as a fan. I felt like we deserved better than that. Well, so you guys have a blessed day.
See what he says today. I wasn't surprised that he didn't have much to say about it last night. They just lost the game. I think he wanted more to talk about guys who played. That's not uncommon. Let's see what he says today. And, Marcus, I know you're not listening. Somebody close to you is listening. Do yourself a favor. Show up in that locker room. I hear about your leadership. I hear what a great teammate you are. You want to show everybody those things are still true? 1:15 to 2 o'clock, be in front of your locker at some point. If you're not, every guy in that locker room for the second day in a row is going to answer questions about you instead of you answering them for yourself. And that is not being a good teammate. That is hiding. Do not hide today. If you hide today, we will not hear from you again until maybe Super Bowl row when you're advertising spam, or maybe not until OTAs.
Not spam email either.
And that is not the guy that you come off as. That is a huge dent to me if you do not show up today and talk.
Vance Joseph fired in Denver. Marvin Lewis is out in Cincinnati after 16 years. Adam Gase fired by the Miami Dolphins. And the Raiders are hiring Mike Mayock to be their general manager.
I mourn the loss of Mike Mayock as a broadcast. And I'm not one to really celebrate firings, but it is beyond time for a breath of some sort of fresh air in Cincinnati, though it's going to be some kind of cheap, ridiculous hiring. And if it's Hugh Jackson, it will be one of the biggest jokes in history.
Should also mention Steve Wilks is out in Arizona. And Dirk Cutter fired in Tampa Bay. Todd Bowles out in New York. Let's go to Dale next. Hey, Dale.
Hey, guys. You got two quarterbacks, Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck, who had peculiar injuries and took significant time off, year and a half. Both come back and play clearly at a high level. Marcus is listening, I'm sure, to his doctor, and he needs to do what's best for himself long-term, not just football-wise, but after football. This sounds like a very strange injury. Two things I wanted to touch on with special teams, though, and maybe get some answers with our punt returns. I have found myself kind of wincing any time that Adoree Jackson's back there. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like he's got the yips or something with his decision-making. Throughout the year, a lot of times he would let balls go and they get downed inside the five or fair catch a ball that he could easily have run on, if not fumble like he did yesterday. Do we not have any other punt returners on the roster? And I wanted to shine a light on Brent Kern. I don't know how many times this year I saw this guy punt a ball that would cause the momentum of the returner to carry him out of bounds, as well as Jayon Brown's interception that he ran back for a touchdown. That was after Kern had pinned them deep, and he may not get back into the end zone with that interception return without Kern's punt. I think he has done a great job pinning teams deep, and I just wanted to shed some light on that. But on the punt returning, if you could keep me on here, I'll listen sure. On the phone. I lost my radio, and yeah. See what you guys have to say about that.
All right, Dale.
Brett Kern's the best guy on this team at his job. I think we could say without question, fantastic season, fantastic game.
Excellent.
I've been anti-Adoree Jackson for some time. I tweeted yesterday, the one thing you could say about Adoree Jackson as a punt returner is he sure was good at it at USC. I don't know how long the Titans are going to hang their hat on that. He is not a good NFL punt returner. That play yesterday was an absolute disaster. I understand the guy is upbeat as can be, but he recovers very well from these things. Very nonchalant about them. Always with a big smile on his face in relative short order. Cameron Batson was the alternative, and he botched his chance in a big way and turned it into a safety. So where's the third option? I don't know. But
was it Nick Williams? You're wanting options. The other option is that job's up for grabs in camp. Yeah. That's the option. Have a receiver or a defensive back come in that wants a roster spot that can actually field a punt. You've earned a roster spot and you'll be active on game day. Because I'm with you, Paul, that his performance in that area this year was just so subpar.
Lackadaisical.
I said I didn't want Batson back there because I wanted someone I could trust.
Can't trust him.
No, he has not proven to be someone you can trust in that spot, in that role. Even when he's fair catching it, it's not at the right times. Let's go to Rob next. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to have to, you know, kind of comment a little bit about, I guess, first of all, about the game. First of all, Andrew Luck, you got to give it up to him. He practically, he went in there, he owned the Titans, okay?
Yes.
For 11 years. So I'm going to say he owned the Titans, and then I'm going to say this too. About Marcus' situation, you know, we all like Marcus. We all talk about, you know, he's you know, a good guy and all that. But you know, we gotta face it. Reliability, okay. He had missed so many games, okay. And as far as being a leader, as far as not being consistent, I mean, do you really think that he really deserves to have a big contract or a contract? This guy, if I'm telling you, this guy, if he stays on this team, we're gonna always be saying we need another quarterback. Now, if they are gonna keep Marcus, they need to get another quarterback to probably be just as good as him. Because if they don't, it's gonna always be the same old problem. Now, you know, I don't know how, you know, the line or whatever is, but yeah, it could be. The line is not that good, so they're getting him hurt. So with all these injuries and everything, just like you on a job, if you have a job and you're not there all the time, and, you know, your boss is pretty soon going to get tired of that, and he's going to have to try to move on. So anyway, nothing against Marcus on that standpoint, but they need to probably look at somebody maybe like Case Keenum, getting him in here, because I heard some talk about he might come available. And if he comes to this team right here, at least he could help.
Well, all right, Rob.
I'd take Case Keenum as a second quarterback here. Rob wasn't listening before he called in, because we said don't give Marcus a long-term contract, and I find it hard to believe there's a scenario where he gets one this offseason, and that they need to bring in somebody who's a better supplement, better alternate.
It's not a bad situation to have fans clamoring for the backup play. That was not the case this year or last year. You know, that means you have an option that is capable of going out and performing at a high level.
Oh, no, I disagree. It's a terrible situation.
No, it's not.
For fans clamoring for the backup to play?
Not in this situation, it's not. Fans wanted a 60% Mariota to play last night. Think about that.
No, and I'm just throwing a percentage out there. Speaking, you want the backup.
I'm saying they need a. I'm with Rob on the backup option needing to be adequate.
Oh, agree. But you never want a situation where people are calling for the backup to play. You want the starter to be good enough.
But my point is, Paul, no one's calling in saying Gabbert needs to be the quarterback. No one's calling in saying Matt Castle needs to be the quarterback. They're saying, go find one.
Well, I think Gabbert's being way too heavily grouped with Matt Castle. Gabbert is way better than Matt Castle was. That was a big upgrade. Now they need to make another big upgrade.
They could run their offense with Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert also completed how many passes last night?
Oh, he's terrible last night.
Okay. 615-737-1045, our number. We go next to Marlon. Getting a lot of out-of-state calls today. We've heard from Kentucky, New Jersey, and now Kansas, Paul.
Yeah, I'm originally from Tennessee. My question was, like, basically on the development of Marcus Mariota. I feel like he can be a good quarterback. And John Gruden, when the Titans drafted him, they had run a system similar to kind of what they run in Oregon. I live in Kansas right now, and I watch the Kansas City Chiefs use Patrick Mahomes and run a college spread-type offense. My question to you is, why is Matt LaFleur running something similar to the Rams? I know he came from there, but we don't have Todd Gurley.
That's right.
Well, there you answered your own question. You got to have the other pieces to run that offense. And I think gradually they'd like to add those pieces and run that kind of offense, but you can't just do it without the pieces. Derrick Henry is, we just said, one of the three best players on the offense. He's not built for that kind of offense.
But consider this, and this will be a bigger topic. We're saying one of the three best players on the offense is a player who had a stretch run of about 5 weeks playing at a very high level.
Yeah.
And he's at the top of the list that we would name right now.
But also, look, we just go right into that conflict.
I know.
And we had this before. Mariota and Henry, how do they work together with their strengths? On their face, they don't. That's Matt LaFleur's job to figure out.
This is the Midday 180 served up by Wendy.